This podcast is brought to you by WRFL, Radio Free Lexington. Find us online at WRFL.fm. Catch us on your FM radio while you're in Central Kentucky at 88.1 FM, all the way to the left. Thank you for listening, and please be sure to subscribe.
You are listening to WRFL Lexington. I am the host of Green Talks, Zoe Gabrielson, and Green Talks is a show that airs weekly on Wednesdays from 4 to 5, and we talk about different sustainability-related initiatives that have been supported by the Student Sustainability Council. And the Student Sustainability Council allocates the environmental stewardship fee each year, and because of that, we are able to do some amazing initiatives. So today, I am joined by three students from the Solar Car team. Do you guys want to introduce yourselves?
Sure. Thanks for having us. My name is Manar Rahman, and I'm the team manager.
I'm Topher Wheatley, and I am business and media personnel.
I am Raina Weibrecht, one of the mechanical leads.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys for joining me today. So why did you guys decide to join Solar Car team? Like, what are you passionate about with this project?
When I first started the Solar Car team, I was looking for a chance to get some real-life engineering skill. And so it was the chance of real-life skill that got me in, but it was the community that led me to stay. And developing this community that I belong to, a place that I can go to and see not just team members, but also friends, is huge.
For me, I actually saw the Solar Car team for the first time back in junior year of high school, actually. The College of Engineering does an event called E-Day every February, and so they had the cars out there on display. And that's really when the first time I got to interact with the team, and I was thinking, okay, if I ever come to UK, I'll definitely join. And for me, it's definitely a gateway into motorsports and just a lot more competition-based organizations. And so that's what I really like about it. But above all, Solar Car is a great learning experience, especially for a lot of engineering students and non-engineering students. So to be able to get that experience as a college student all through the undergraduate experience has been really nice.
So for me, Solar Car kind of impressed me when I saw it at K-Week originally. Since then, it's kind of cool to see what all the students can do when we get together and actually work on a project or are passionate about something. It's a great sense of accomplishment as well as amazement for a lot of people.
That's awesome. So can you guys give us a little bit of a history about the Solar Car team and the current vehicle that you guys are using?
Sure. Yeah, this year is actually a pretty big year for us. We've been around since 1999, and so this year is actually our 20th year. So we'll be celebrating that here in a little bit. But with the Solar Car team, we've built six cars so far. And this last summer, we actually finished our last car, Gato do Sol 6. And so usually we'll compete with each car for about 2 to 3 years. And the biggest thing about what we do is that nearly everything that we build or look at or design or whatever is done by students. And that's something that we're really proud of. And something that sometimes is a little neglected is that everything that we touch and see is done by students.
That's great. And you mentioned the name of your car. Can you explain that?
Yeah, it goes back to 1999. One of our first supporters was Stone Farm. They're a horse farm in Paris, Kentucky. But they had the 1982 Kentucky Derby winner named Gato do Sol. And so when we partnered with them, it just kind of fit really well since we're the Wildcats. It's a solar car, and Gato do Sol translates to Cat of the Sun. So it just all was too good to not use as a name. So we've been using that since 99.
That's awesome. That's a nice little pun. Okay, so in addition to some of the history that you told us about with your current vehicle, with the program, what are some of the different teams that are involved? You mentioned that you guys had some different roles that you work with. So what are the teams? What do they do? And would you consider this to be a multidisciplinary project?
Absolutely. And I'll let Topher and Raina talk about it as well. But there's all sorts of different majors on our team. We're a great blend of mechanicals, electricals, computer science, and even non-engineering majors, because we have to do a lot of our own fundraising ourselves, much like what we do with SSC. And so putting all of that together as a team is definitely important for us. And we all get very unique perspectives that kind of come together for it. And do you guys want to add to that?
Sure. Especially on the business and media team is where we shine with. We have had English majors, history majors, not to mention digital design and business finance majors. And that is an excellent chance for people to get a relationship with engineering, but also a chance to do things outside of engineering. Instead of just doing all of your classes and meeting the same people, it's a chance to test new skills, learning, working in a social atmosphere, which I think is also big with sustainability in the social aspect of meeting out with the community.
It's very, very much what people want to do when they join the team. It's not specifically what your major is, so it gives the opportunity for a lot of different people to come from a lot of different backgrounds and give input. Like we have four or five different teams, mechanical, electrical, computer science, as well as business media, and they all kind of intertwine together and work together to make the car function as a whole.
Cool. Okay, so how would you say that participation in the Solar Car team impacts the community? Or, I'm sorry, how do you think the participation in the Solar Car team contributes to student learning outcomes and student impact?
Sure. One thing that we're always, I think we've mentioned, is that we're really proud of how student-based and student-focused we are. And the biggest thing that any student who is involved with our team gets out of it is just that hands-on experience that you really don't necessarily get in a classroom. That we definitely have a lot of great classes where we learn theory and how to do things and stuff like that, especially in engineering. But we never necessarily get the chance to actually showcase that or demonstrate it in just the 4 years you have for your undergraduate. And so to be able to join the team and kind of get that extreme hands-on experience and build a full-scale car at that, to be able to kind of put all of those pieces together and get that out of it definitely helps kind of develop our students and develop those skills a lot more.
Yeah, so our listeners are aware it's a car.
It's a full-size car. Like, sometimes people will hear solar car and they'll think, oh, it's a cool little RC car or something like that. No, it is a, 8 by 17 foot long car. So it's a full-size car, and we'll actually drive it out on public roads and stuff like that.
Yeah, in addition to that, it is also a large project. You have a lot of great student groups who you can talk to faculty, you can talk with your peers, but getting onto a group that has a history as long as we do, and also having a project that's as awesome as a nationally competing solar vehicle, I believe is unique to us. Or
cool. All right, so we talked a little bit about the student impact. How would you guys say that your work has impacted the community? Because I know that you guys do some stuff outside of just UK.
I think one of the coolest things is whenever we take it for a drive in a caravan and just the stares that you'll get from people on the side of the street or the questions of, is that a boat? What even is that thing? And so it's beyond just the initial impact of what in the world is that? I want to learn more. I want to get interested into it. It also has an impact of a solar vehicle can exist. And not only that, it can be built by students. It's a very possible, practical thing that we're trying to work in and develop.
Yeah, and the other part of that as well is we do a lot of outreach in addition to the competitions that we travel to. And so being able to engage the K through 12 group, especially in those STEM field areas, in Kentucky especially, is a really neat thing for us to be able to do. Just because there are some areas of Kentucky especially where they don't get that experience as much, or they might not necessarily even know that, you know, you can do so much in STEM. So to be able to go out to, let's say, like Eastern Kentucky or some other place in Kentucky that we've never been before, or any schools that just like to have us annually, to be able to reach out to them and kind of just show their students what we're able to do at UK, can definitely go a long way for them as well.
It's always amazing to see what kind of impact we have on the community and the people around us. Just this E-Day, you could see it got people thinking about, oh, what can I do with sustainable energy or solar panels, as well as the limits of what's possible.
Cool. All right. So and you mentioned earlier that you drive this car on public roads, like we said. I mean, I really can't stress this enough. It's a car. So what do you see some of the applications of solar power being to our transportation? I mean, do you see this being technology that's applicable to more than just racing?
Sure, yeah, and I guess to give a little bit of context with our races, so our team competes with about 20 to the other 30 college teams in two races, the Formula Sun Grand Prix and the American Solar Challenge, where the main difference is the first one is a track race where we try to get the most amount of laps in 3 days on just solar power. And then the second race is where we'll actually drive the car on public roads for a week, and it's like a cross-country race. Last year it was from Nebraska to Oregon. So it's a pretty big distance. So for us, we're always looking at, okay, how efficient can we make our car? And so my personal opinion on, you know, whether or not solar cars will exist, it's not necessarily of making a fully solar-powered car for the consumer industry, but it's a lot more of kind of seeing how the industry is moving, how efficiency is changing, how a lot of those power electronics are changing. And just to kind of open those possibilities up a little bit more and get people thinking about it a little bit more.
Yeah, that's, well, the other thing that's cool about that too is that I was just talking about this with a friend the other day. When you are working towards technologies like these, sometimes you find something inadvertently that kind of comes up and you realize that that has an application to something else. The example that I was talking about was NASA and how a lot of people think like, well, why do we need space travel? But there's so many of our modern inventions have come from that and just the different externalities of that research. So, I mean, even like the possibilities are really endless, I think.
Exactly. Yeah. Like there's a lot of teams that have come up with really cool solutions to a few things. There's like some teams that will do like smart cruise control or like adaptive cruise control, things like that. And so if you look at kind of where the car industry is going, a lot of that technology is also developing with that, where, you know, like Tesla's, for example, they're autonomous now. And so they're kind of adapting that cruise control methods and things like that. So for us, again, as just as students, to be able to access kind of that technology and get a lot more experience with it can help us kind of see where the industry is going and see kind of what possibilities do exist with it.
And I guess also even looking back to when we originally started solar car racing in the U.S., General Motors was interested in building it to kind of see what could students prototype, what could the future look like as far as solar vehicles. And even looking not currently, we have an MOV class, a multi-occupant vehicle. And so where our solar car may look very unique, those vehicles are meant to take multiple people. They look more contemporary. And so that's also an exciting frontier of what can we do, not just in our division, but also like more practical uses.
Yeah, across teams, you can definitely see a lot of different ideas and possibilities for the future of cars, not just in solar power, but also for weight reduction and more better efficiency. So there's a lot of possibilities with what industry can do in the future.
All right. So we are going to take a quick break and we will be right back. It is 4:18 p.m. You are listening to Green Talks, a weekly radio show where we talk about some of the ways in which the Student Sustainability Council has used the Environmental Stewardship Fee to advance the theory, practice, and reality of sustainability at the University of Kentucky. Today, I'm joined by three members of the UK solar car team. We've been talking a little bit about Gato del Sol. Is that correct? Am I pronouncing it correctly?
Yeah.
And some of the ways in which the solar car team has really made an impact here on campus and in the community and on students' lives. So we're talking a little bit about that, and I wanted to ask you guys specifically how these initiatives kind of have addressed the three pillars of sustainability. And so the frequent listeners to this show may know this, but the three pillars are environmental, social, and economic. So how do those three factors come into play?
Sure. With social, it really goes back to how student-focused we are. We really help, like we mentioned before the break, how we help our students kind of just get that experience and get that knowledge and really develop. And with us, it's so weird because our turnover rate is so quick in terms of, you know, people are graduating, you know, every year. But we're still able to kind of keep that up and sustain it and make sure that, you know, knowledge is getting transferred between people and things like that. And just keeping that team healthy and really our engineering students healthy with that as well.
On the economic side of things, it operates similar to a business where in order to build a car, we do need the funds, we do need sponsorships, and we have to go out there and talk to people and get those groups going. And so you can't spend more than you have. And so there are several other solo car or several other groups that, well, they can take loans, or we really try to get all of our funds and be really responsible with not only the money we get from our sponsors and our donors, because they expect us to build a solo car. They expect us to use this responsibly. And so that's an enormously important part of everything we do.
Yeah, and as a solar car organization, we are very friendly towards green energy and renewable sources of energy. We use solar power for our car and make it work so it's a feasible resource.
So, you know, you mentioned some of the funding and stuff with the donors, and our listeners know that a lot of the projects we talk about on this show have been funded by the Environmental Stewardship Fee, which is administered by the Student Sustainability Council. So what has that relationship looked like in the past, and how has the contributions of the SSC kind of made it possible for you guys to continue operating?
Yeah, the SSC has been really an amazing partner. I think the SSC is probably one of our largest partners out of the University of Kentucky, if not the largest. And so the last few years, SSC really helped us just get the funds to build our last car, Gatto 6, last summer. And all of that funding kind of started really in 2015, 2016, where I think in December 2015, we kind of proposed to buy half of the solar array of the new car, which solar cells are actually the most expensive part on our car. Our last car, for context, cost about, I want to say, $26,000 in just the solar cells, and then probably another $20,000 for motors and stuff. There's a lot of new hardware we got for this most recent car just because we were running the same stuff for so long. We were actually running the same motor for 20 years up until last year. So a lot of new hardware improvements and things like that. But the SSC has really helped fund us for those improvements and get those things. So we got some of the solar array donated by the SSC. And then last year we pitched for two new motors, which went a huge way in terms of efficiency. The motor we were using before that was older than I am. it was back from like 98 or 99. It blew up once pretty much in 2014. We basically resurrected it at the race and then put it back together. So SSC really helped us out there.
So this happened at a race?
Yeah, I think it was the 2014 race where it didn't blow up. I might be exaggerating. but basically the motor has two parts. There's the motor rotor and the motor stator. The rotor rotates and the stator stays. That's how I remember it. But I think something weird happened where the magnetic gap between the two or some other part, I forget what it was, basically closed and started rubbing. And so it just like destroyed the motor. And so the team was able to go back into it and repair it and kind of salvage it for the next 2 years. But that motor was effectively shot in terms of efficiency and just drivability. It was really, really loud. So we always made fun about it.
Yeah, you couldn't talk to people in the car while it was going.
Yeah. Our drivers would have to get off the throttle, radio in, and then get back on the throttle just because you had no way of being able to hear over it. So the two new motors we got with SSC last year definitely went a long way. And then this year, SSC is actually helping us with hotels and vehicles to get to the race because logistics for our races can get pretty intense just because, you know, our competitions last about a week to 2 weeks. This year it's a week, but we do travel down to places like Texas and things like that. And when we're taking about 15 to 20 students, it can start adding up. So we're really happy with what the SSC has been able to provide for us.
All right. So you mentioned that you had a literal blow up. What have been some of the other challenges that you all have experienced throughout the course of this project?
We could talk about that for a while.
So as a student made and built project, there's always bumps in the road, whether it's electrically, mechanically, or just trying to find funding for what we're doing. This last race, we had some challenges with our suspension that kind of put us out for a while. And now we're just happy to be back up and running. So there's a lot of bumps in the road we come to, and we do our best to overcome that, such as like rebuilding a motor.
I guess another aspect on the business end with talking about the turnabout, where we're having a lot of our crucial seniors leave. And so we want to make sure that when they leave, they have a stable place where we can continue to do all the great work that we've all been doing?
For me personally, it would be our trailer. we got a new trailer 2 years ago, but for whatever reason, we've been cursed by it, and it's broken apart on us like while we're going to the races. And so last year, we were actually a day late to competition because the trailer's axle was bent, and we didn't know about it. So we blew two tires on our way to St. Louis, and then had to get U-Hauls and unload our trailer, reload the U-Haul. And this was still while we were trying to figure out some issues with the new car. And so last year, the timing just was not that great with us. But
not only like physical challenges, we also have just turnover challenges sometimes as well. Mm-hmm. Because as a student organization, people graduate about every 4 years. And so it's a lot of just getting people in and passionate about the car and wanting to help is sometimes a challenge because we're all juggling classes and exams, but it's really impressive to see everybody come together.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing we have to remember is that we're all students first. And so, you know, when people do have exams and things that they do need to study for, we have to consider that into our timelines as well. But then our timelines are also very tight when it comes to getting the car ready and things like that. So just making sure all the timing works out. Timing's the key word for pretty much everything.
Okay, on a little bit of a lighter note, what have been some of the most rewarding things that you've gotten to do or that you've experienced throughout the course of your time with Solar Car?
Been talking, again, about community, not just the community here at University of Kentucky, but the community nationally, internationally. It's a close-knit group of, if you build a solar car, you know the other people who build solar cars. And so you meet with these people at least once a year. You have an idea of what the other teams are doing, and you share ideas. You trade secrets with each other. It's a really great community, not just here at UK, but all across the world to belong to.
For me, I guess the two things that would have been most rewarding so far this year, I think I talked about E-Day a little bit at the beginning. But being able to go to E-Day now as like a senior, and see all these kids and high school students and stuff come by, it's really cool to kind of see how all of that's come kind of full circle for me, where I was in those shoes, just a few years ago, and now here I am with the car, trying to show that off. And then really just seeing Gato 6 drive, the last few weeks, like Reyna mentioned, we had some suspension issues last year at the race, and so we didn't actually get to compete. We didn't get to qualify, and then we just had a lot of weeks and a lot of months of just bad luck. So then back in January or February of this year, we were finally able to get the car kind of fixed up and ready to test again. And seeing it in K lot in the parking lot, just being able to drive and test it, to me, that was a really proud moment, just because the team's been waiting to do that for a very long time. And to finally catch that break and see everything kind of work together, and everyone working together is really rewarding.
It's really, really satisfying to see our car drive and run well as just the joy some other people get out of it, such as we had two or three new people in the car this last weekend when we were testing over in K-Lot. And one of them, I quote, said it, "This is the most amazing thing ever," when they got into drive for the first time, which was really thrilling. So not only does it bring enthusiasm to the young kids at like E-Day, it also brings us a lot of enjoyment, and it's really impressive.
Yeah, it's just cool. I mean, we built it ourselves. Like that's, I think, what's awesome about it is you see something that you had your hands on just a couple of weeks ago or a couple months ago, and now it's out on the road driving, so...
All right. Well, you mentioned earlier that you guys take students. So if people are interested in being a member of the team, how would they go about finding more information? Is there a website? Would they want to email somebody? How would that work?
Honestly, you can kind of slide into our DMs. We'd be glad to talk to you. We have our Facebook, our Instagram, our Twitter, and we like to stay visible on that all the time. So you can try to talk to us through there. We also have a website at egr.uky.edu/solarcar. But as long as we're on all of our social media, that's just UK Solar Car. Come check us out.
Yeah, we very much welcome anybody and everybody that's a student here at UK. We take all majors. It's anybody who has a passion to work on the car. If you're interested in the least, we are more than happy to have you here. And there's no hoops you got to jump through to join. You just got to show up and work on the car.
All right. And did you guys have any additional information you would like to share with our listeners?
Really, we are proud to represent University of Kentucky as a solo car team, and we look forward to doing great stuff. See Blue.
It's not a boat. We get that a lot. So if you see anything driving around K-Lot or anything like that, or on the roads around here, look at the stickers. It'll say UK Solar Car on it. It's not a boat. It's a solar car.
All right. Well, that is definitely good to know. Thank you guys so much for coming on today. We will be right back after this quick break.
Hey there. If you're enjoying this podcast from WRFL Lexington, you may enjoy our live radio stream at WRFL.fm and, of course, via radio at 88.1 FM in the Central Kentucky area. We have a wide variety of programs you're sure to enjoy. Just go to WRFL.fm/schedule and see what programs appeal most to you. Thanks again for listening to this podcast from WRFL Lexington.